Coburn has so many diverse perspectives that are possible.
Yeah.
That's why I said at the in the former hour that this book is the reason for science and creationism to resit at the same table. Because if in fact this book is real, which I attest that it is, because for a variety of different reasons, then the study of the origins and the creation of the earth and evolution and creationism and Jesus and Joseph of Arimathea and the Templars and all of these things are all one course of study. They all belong at the same table, and we have divided them as if we were having some contest, testosterone contest, between two rivaling points of view, scientists and religion people.
Well, then that does bring us back to this thing about Adam and Eve and the origins of humankind in the book. Why don't you set it up that way?
Well, you know, by the time of the coming of Adam and Eve, the earth was well used by the creator, whomever you wish that to be, or whatever design, intelligent design you wish that to be. Certainly, I come from a Western Christian perspective and have a very serious feeling about that. But Adam and Eve were not the first people on the earth. The Bible talks about the Nephilim. It talks about the sons of God. These sons of God are the very same sons of God mentioned in the Coburn that existed prior to Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve became the patriarchs of the final epoch of this world. And the Coburn talks about them coming almost like they were coming from outer space, though they didn't come from outer space. They were sent here on some intelligent design. Certainly, Western Christians would believe that God created them and sent them and brought them here into this world.
Let's amplify that other point, that there were beings here before, because in a way, that's not that different from the Bible in one sense, in that, you know, when Cain, you know, is banished from the garden, and when Adam and Eve are sent forth, there are other people already outside. I mean, because there are people that, you know, that at least Cain then begins to intermingle with.
No doubt. And who were those people?
So who are those people was always a question that people would ask. How could there already be other people there if Adam and Eve are the first and they only had, you know, at that point two kids, and they add a third? But, I mean, that's where this comes into it, because there were people here, and then the Adam and Eve story starts after that.
Without any question. And the Templars didn't even understand the histories prior to those two civilizations. They divide them in half. They say the world was created and then recreated. I have a CD called Pre-Genesis, The Time Before the Beginning, which chronicles five different separate epochs of time where there were human-like creatures on the earth, and all of them were destroyed because they had violated the laws of the earth and violated the laws of the Creator. It's amazing that Plato mentions that the destruction of Atlantis occurred because these people violated the laws of the earth and the laws of the Creator. It almost sounded like he was making a religious comment when he said that.
Mm.
But in my CD, we chronicle all of them that have been recorded all the way from China, India, Egypt, all the way into the Americas with the Mayan text. There were five epochs of time that really have existed on this planet. And Adam and Eve become the patriarchs of the final epoch of time. And all the previous four civilizations all predicted a cataclysmic event, and all of them predicted 1,000 years of peace, prosperity, the return of Eden, the return of Atlantis, millennial era of time, whatever you want to call it, that time would exist after this cataclysmic event would come. And if you take into account the Mayans' prediction, they were great mathematicians and astronomers. That epoch of time is imminent.
Okay, so we should say then that how they become the patriarch and matriarch of the final epoch of time is that they are given the divine spark. They're given a piece of God.
They came not from the actual bloodlines of the existing races. They came from without.
Right. And so that's what makes them different. And that's what makes us different, in that that's what's been passed down to us. And that's why, you know, if we look at it, that's why we're we're different from, it's why we are the hominids that we are, and the other ones didn't survive.
That's exactly right. That's a very, very, very mystical, very religious statement to make, but it's also very, very simple to understand. And that's why I claim that science and religion should sit back to the same table, because there may have been interventions in this evolutionary saga that's written in the crust of the earth, and I've always said that. The crust of the earth is not the story of a gradual evolution of organisms from primordial soup. It is the story of successful epochs of life and their long existence and their destructions.